This Sunday, we have the really the great honor of having back a friend of PCOG, Mike Gillern. Mike, come on up. So Mike's going to be sharing the word that God has put on his heart to share with us this morning. For those of you who know Mike, Mike's been here for decades. I don't even want to know exactly how many. And primarily because Mike has been a Christian counselor and has been teaching counseling for a number of years in the area. And he is really a gift of God. For any of you who have had the good fortune of going to counseling with Mike, he really is a gift. And I can't wait to hear what you've got to share with us. Come on up and let's pray.
Okay, thank you.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, Lord, that your son, Mike, is here to share your word with us. Father, we just pray that he shares every single word that you have for us. He doesn't share any word that you don't have, but he shares every word that you have, and that every word would come out, go out, and would touch hearts and would change lives. Lord, because we know that is what you desire, is to change our lives.
As I look out across the audience here today, I see two different types of people. Those who have wounded others and those who have been wounded. Would you sense that you've probably been on both sides of that? And so today I really want to not necessarily so much focus on those issues that where you have wounded others. I'm more concerned today about the wounds that you have received from others. I remember growing up, had a very difficult time, Robert, with my father. He was not a real nurturing type of person. In fact, he taught me how to hate. And so I spent most of my childhood hating my father for a number of different reasons, and I don't think this is the place that we're going to go into all the different details, but think about somebody in your life, perhaps, who you might have hated, right? It could have been a family member, it could have been just a neighbor or anyone at that point. And as we all know, a hate destroys the hater at this point. But somewhere along the line, Libby, I got saved, and somebody said to me that I needed to forgive my father. Sounds like a Christian thing to do, Marge, right? And so I took my forgiveness blanket, and I threw it over my father, and I figure, all right, what next? Except it was just a doctrine, and it wasn't connected with any particular wound. Have you been there? Right? Where it sounds like you've done it, but it doesn't necessarily feel like you've done it. One time when I was about 10 years of age, I was on vacation in New York City, traveling back to Scranton, PA. Do you know Scranton? Right, okay, there you go. You're an intelligent man. All right. I arrived about 11 o'clock on a Friday night, and as I entered my kitchen, my brother was there. He was in the Marines, Gary, and he had three of his buddies from North Carolina. They were home on leave. My father was there, my two sisters, and so the room was crowded, except my mother, who was a nurse, Connie, was doing a night duty. My father said to me, get right upstairs to bed because I had a Little League baseball game the next day. And so I ran upstairs and got into the bed, and all of a sudden I heard this flapping sound above, and I ran downstairs and I said, Daddy, there's a bat in my room. At which point he began to express himself in the manner that he often would, and get back upstairs or I'm going to, you know, you fill in the blanks. And all of the Marines that were around the table began to laugh. At which point I ran upstairs and locked myself in the bathroom. My next oldest brother, he came up, he saw the bat, and he was knocking on the door. There, the two of us were in the room waiting, you know, for the bat to go away. The brother who was in the Marines, all the Marines went up into the bedroom. They killed the bat in true Marine fashion. They took it in the backyard and burned it, right? Semper Fi. At which point the issue was gone, except I couldn't go to sleep that night, and I would look at the four corners of the room kind of hypervigilantly, and I had the light on, and I lived in a house that didn't have doors. We just had curtains. And so when my father would come up and he saw that that light was on, again, that all that rage of turn that light off, and I would be buried under those covers as a frightened little boy at that point. As the years went on, if I was outside playing in the summer, and all of a sudden, you know, a bat would come, Like, oh, my mother's calling me. I have to go home. I'm frightened. Remember one time Jenny buying an ice cream at the truck that come around, ordered a hot fudge sundae, paid for it. But while they were making the hot fudge sundae, a bat came by and I was off. So I had the reputation of being a little squirrely. Now some of you might think that echoes, so every time that would happen, going to a movie theater and be waiting for the show to start with my friends, and then I would look up, and they could have been pigeons, but I saw they were bats, and so I would leave. So this became kind of a really debilitating, but as I got older, I really loved the winter because that was the time that the bats didn't come around, at least in my neighborhood at that point. So as the years would go by, I kind of had it down pretty pat. I could coordinate it and so on. And then I got saved, and I'm in seminary, and I'm visiting my in-laws for the first time. They lived in Briarcliff Manor. And little did I know, when the grandchildren came to visit from Chicago, that their annual exciting thing to do is go on the hill by the college, watching the fruit bats dive into the fruit trees, and say, "Come on, Uncle Mike, join us." At which point, again, I am this frightened, now a grown-up, and no, I've got to watch the Yankees. The Yankees that year were about 23 games out of first place, but I had to watch them. But then, Gary, I decided I had to do something about this. So I went to the library and I got books out about bats, right? And I got my index cards and all the, man, you'd be surprised of all the insects these bats eat, right? And they don't really attack your hair. And so I wrote them out and then I would memorize. And so every time I saw a bat, I would just recite these things that I've learned in the dictionary and the things about bats. And my anxiety began to go lower and lower. And I figured, well, I've got this pretty much under control. Fast forward it, now I'm working at the counseling center in Fairfield, right about starting, and I had maybe, at that time, maybe 20 clients. And I'm living in Mount Kisco, and we just had a baby. My wife's upstairs changing the baby, and she has me put the cheese on the cheeseburgers. Now, if you don't know this, you know, in order to make a cheese melt properly, that you want to fold it like the American flag, drop it right in the middle of the burger, and it melts quite evenly. I didn't know if you knew that, but I threw that in for free. I have just put the cheese on the burger, and Walter, a bat goes by. No problem. So I began to recite these things, except this time it wasn't working. And the more I said it, the more the anxiety went up and went up. And meanwhile, the burgers are burning. My wife's changing the diaper upstairs. And she says to me, "Honey, could you change? You know, I think the burgers are done." At which point, I was a frozen, right, 30-year-old man looking out that screen, right, watching the burgers burn. Now, does that sound like somebody you'd like to do some therapy with? Exactly, right? It sounds like somebody who needs therapy. But let's fast forward it then to see what was the real issue. See, the real issue wasn't the bat, was it? Except every time I would see a bat, it would remind me of what the real issue was. I was a frightened 10-year-old boy, right, who needed the comfort and support of a father. And not only did I get that I also got the shame and the humiliation. So when I wanted to forgive him, and I threw the blanket over him, but I wasn't recognizing the wound. See, that was the wound, and the beautiful thing about that is that at that point, even though I went through years of shame and humiliation and thinking that somehow there was something wrong with me because I was afraid of these little bats, right, I recognized that I needed to forgive my father for that specific date and for that specific thing. And when I discovered what the wound was, then the power of forgiveness began to go deeper and deeper. I'm under the opinion that some of the wounds that you've experienced are pretty severe wounds. They're not superficial wounds. Is that possible? And so sometimes the danger when you have a deep wound, Angelo, that the need to have that wound, what we call the connective tissue, needs to heal before the protective tissue. Now, I sound like a dermatologist, don't I, right? But think about that, for example. Sometimes the wound is so deep that the skin closes over, right, before the connect. And now what happens when you go for surgery? They put a drain in, right? And they allow that connected tissue to heal so that it'll heal properly. Now the danger is that the skin can close and there's no specific symptoms. You follow me now? There's no specific symptoms. And so you think everything is healed. Except when you have children. Some of you have children. Let me just share this a little bit. This is what the Lord has shared with me in terms of what happened in my life. Because I have forgiven my father, right? I thought the wounds were coming along. Except when I started to have children, I noticed that my children were like little pumps. And all of a sudden, they were bringing to the surface part of the wound that I hadn't recognized before. Okay? So as for, give you an example. When my son was just a little guy, I would go in and give him a kiss goodnight and say his prayers. But as I was leaving the room, I'd have this overwhelming sense of sadness. And after a while, who wants to be sad? So I stopped doing it. And my wife said, well, you know, you haven't said Robert his prayers in a couple of days. Is there something wrong? And I really didn't quite know how to address that because all I knew, I was feeling sad and I didn't want to feel sad. And so the way not to feel sad is just stop doing it. Another time, what I was doing is playing Nerf football on the living room floor with my son. Now, don't you know that sometimes our kids actually look like us, which is a little, could be good or bad depending on what the situation is, right? So my son is 3 years old and I'm throwing him the Nerf football and he's laughing and he's having a good time. And then all of a sudden I get this overwhelming feeling that, gosh, I never had that. And I'm feeling sad, right? Now, fortunately, I was able to appropriately stuff that feeling, and I'll tell you what that means in a moment, to appropriately stuff it, because I wanted to continue then to play with him, but I had to go off by myself, right, and unpack that. And I had to be able to recognize that I was feeling sad because I never had that, right? And yet I probably have spent most of my life numbing the wound. You ever remember years ago if you hurt your ankle playing basketball, the trainer would come out with some kind of spray, right, and they would freeze it. And then you would go out and play with it and probably do more damage. So an awful lot of the wounds that I experienced were numbed, except my children began to unnumb them, and yet they started doing the time for my father's crime. And I didn't recognize it at that point. So we need to kind of recognize is that yes, we want to forgive, but thank God forgiveness is a process. That, Nancy, you don't go to the Poconos retreat for 3 days and forgive everybody all at once, right? It's time released. Because, you know, in my house growing up, if you had all of the appliances on at once, we'd blow a fuse. You ever had that experience? So thank God that we don't get in touch with all of the wounds all at once. Now, we would like to think that that would be a good thing, right? Let's just get it over with. I forgive him, boom. But the reality is, little by little by little, it doesn't mean that God doesn't forgive. But what it means is that in order to forgive, you need to recognize the wound, and then you're able to process that, and you're able to get grower higher up and deeper in. Does that make sense? Okay. So this is all part of this idea when we think of bringing our sins to God, as David did. David went almost a whole year without confessing, and what did the scripture say is that his bones began to rot away. And I'm of the opinion that so many people who come to see me in my office, right, are wrestling with wounds that really haven't been processed in terms of the forgiveness component. They've said that they have forgiven. They've begun the process, but so many of those wounds are numb. And then when they come to the surface, we tend to act them out on our children at that point. Years ago, growing up, it was interesting. Although my father did an awful lot of crazy things, you know what bothered me the most? Was when he didn't honor my mother for Mother's Day. Right? There was just something about, it was almost as if that was the pool that all of the wounds would gather in March. Right? And so, but what really was disturbing is that when it came to Father's Day, which was what, weeks away after that, my mother would always go out of her way to make a dinner, to give all the presents, and she'd want our kids to have to sign the cards, and we very reluctantly signed it because we couldn't stand the guy, right? But every year it was the same thing. So even though he did all of those things that clearly were wounds, they all gathered into the pool of he didn't do anything for my mother, for Mother's Day, right? Let's fast forward it. My wife and I begin to try to have a family, David, and we lose 3 children through early miscarriages for the first trimester. So finally, when she finally gets pregnant with our daughter, she has to spend the entire pregnancy in bed. She has to actually live with her parents in Pennsylvania. So it was a real struggle. So the baby was born in October, right? And so as the winter goes, spring is coming, right? And I'm thinking, gosh, well, what could I do for Mother's Day? Oh, I bet you maybe we wish you could do this, we could do that, right? And as the days were getting closer, no, I haven't gotten a card yet. You know, maybe I should get flowers. You know, we could do something special. And Mother's Day came, and I did nothing. Wow. Wow, the very thing that I had hated him the most for, I found myself doing, right? And then I had to step back, right? And I had to take that forgiveness higher up and deeper in, because I had done the thing that I had hated the most, I did it myself. Now that could be the possibility of in this room, that the very thing that you might have hated about someone in your life, that you yourself have done the same thing. And I say to myself, how could I ever forgive? My father had basically less than an 8th grade education. And here I was, right? Master of Divinity, Master of Counseling, right? Preaching, counseling. And what was my excuse? I had the Holy Spirit. And yet I look back at that and I think the Holy Spirit used that event to bring me higher up and deeper in and gave me the true sense of what forgiveness needs to be. And it wasn't just a word, because the very person who I had hated the most, right, God used to bring me to him in that sense. Now, another Mother's Day comes. Boy, I'm going down to Westport. You know, they got this nice store in Westport with these nice little blue bags, right? You know what that is, right? And yet, I could have bought the whole store. That's not going to make up for that first Mother's Day. But you know what happened, Jenny, on the Father's Day? Yeah, the meal, right? The present from my daughter, and my daughter signed the card. And I had gone through that same experience. And so I looked back and I looked at my father's situation a little bit different. Had a little bit more compassion as a result. Because as a boy, I didn't really understand. As a grown-up, I could see some of the different dynamics. Some of the wounds that he must have had, having both parents being alcoholics and clearly not coming from a nurturing environment. But as a boy, you don't think that. You just think it's all about you. And yet the reality of having gone through that was able then to help me then to experience a deeper level of forgiveness. The scripture, let me just read a couple of scriptures for us here, having to do with then the wounds. Psalm 147:3. Scripture says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With his stripes, we are healed. Sometimes I say, with his wounds, we are healed. Right? Or with his traumas, we are healed. Jeremiah 30:17. But I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. So God is the great wound healer. And sometimes we're going along and you never quite know. You're going to hear a song, you're going to hear something, and it's going to remind you of a wound. Not too long ago, some of you heard Nancy give her spiritual autobiography. And in that spiritual autobiography, she told the story of going to Smithsonian Institute, where she got experience with the plane that her father was connected with, right? And I remember you sharing all of a sudden the sense of woundedness that came. No, you forgave your father, there's no doubt. But part of that wound showed up. You weren't expecting it. In fact, if you knew it was going to be there, you probably would have said, Bob, let's go somewhere else. Because who would want to do that? And yet, I got the feeling that as a result of that experience, your healing in the wound, you went higher up and deeper in as a result of that. Some of us also have wounded others. I was thinking about that in the sense that I'm thinking about assessing the wounds. A couple of months ago, we heard that my niece was about to be deployed again. So I contacted Connie to ask for prayer, and Connie and his band of brothers kind of surrounds the vets and those that are overseas in prayer. But one of the things that my niece does, she's a surgeon, and so when the wounded soldiers come in or the various other personnel come in, she assesses their wounds, what they call triage, where they're kind of looking to see, you know, what can wait and what can't wait, and to be able to assess that. I suspect the chances are that we have probably wounded people, and when we assess it, it's like we have a wound that probably needs 100 stitches, but we only give 5. You ever been in there? You ever have somebody wound you? Right, and they say that they're sorry. Kids, when you grow up, remember when you had kids and they were small and you hurt your brother if you have a sister and your mother says, well, what do you say? Right, well, I'm sorry. So you say the words as if somehow that's healing, right? But sometimes when we wound people, we don't often know how deep the wound is. You ever been in an automobile accident and somebody comes and says, well, how you doing? Well, I'm fine, fine. And yet 6 weeks later, you can't get out of bed, right? Because of some type of whiplash or... So some of the wounds are on a delayed response. And so going back to then children, having children can be hazardous because children have a tendency to kind of reconnect you with some of the old wounds that you haven't covered with forgiveness. I remember in the third grade, I had experienced a significant amount of physical abuse from a teacher. And when my daughter was in third grade, all of a sudden, it was like somebody opened up the vent and stuff started floating around and I started to have anger and hurt, and yet it probably came out on her and she had nothing to do with it until I could make the connection that there was, at the third grade, that there was wound, that I needed to forgive that sister for what she had done, right? But if I'm just saying the words, I have to be able to identify the feelings. So here's a couple of things to consider, because I'm gonna really encourage you that with this sense of anointing that you have been praying for me, I have been praying for you, that God would give the ears of the heart to hear what you have to hear, and if it doesn't fit, don't take it home. But if there's something that we're sharing that somehow you can identify, this is a little bit of a way to go about it. Number one is that you have to allow yourself to recognize the feeling. Number one, right? But you also need to know that you need to do this in private. Remember, I was playing with my son on the floor and feeling sad, and he kind of looked at me, what did I do, Daddy? Well, he didn't do anything. But I had to go back in the privacy and feel this feeling, right? And give myself what we call embrace it. You can recognize it, but forget it. We can stuff it. We'll just numb it. But then the second part is to feel it. Now, my father had been dead quite a while this was going on, right? So just because someone dies doesn't mean the forgiveness stops, right? That's important, right? So when you get in touch with it, right, it's not that you haven't begun the process, but you're putting it on the specific wound so that you can take it higher up and deeper in. Third part is to be able to let go. Cast your burdens upon me. Step four is then reconnected the concept of forgiveness with the actual wound. I'm forgiving my father for not, being there when I was frightened 10-year-old boy, right? And so then it's more than just a word, right? And it brings about a sense of healing. Because guess what happens when you hate people? I used to think that I could just hate one person and it wouldn't contaminate everybody else. And yet, every time I hated my father, my children and my wife were being contaminated. I wasn't able to give them the love that they needed and they deserved. And guess what? Sometimes, remember, not only did I not do anything for Mother's Day, there's a way that my father used to sneeze. Now, the sound, and every once in a while, I sneeze that, and it's almost like I could see my father. And so if I can't stand my father, I'm going to have an awful lot of self-loathing. Right? And how's the Lord going to use somebody who can't say hates himself, right? And doesn't think they're any good. The reality is that I am part of his seed. I will always be. And I need to honor my father, not honor his behavior, but honor his position as the brother, the sons of Noah. After Noah, they found Noah naked in the tent, right? The one boy kind of went in and kind of looked at his father, but the other boys backed up. They honored their father, but they didn't honor his behavior. David, when he's being chased by Saul in the cave, he could take his life, but he honored, right, God's ordained Saul. Even though Saul was about ready to kill him, right, he still recognized that he was God's ordained. And that's not always an easy thing. So forgiveness is the theme of today, but forgiveness of self, and to continue to take that forgiveness onward for those who have wounded you. A lot of times we just forget it. We don't want to numb it. We don't want to deal with it. We'll just bury it. But Nothing wrong with burying something as long as you bury it when it's dead. Unfortunately, so many people bury it alive. And where does it surface? It surfaces in the next generation. The very thing that I wanted to do, I did. You know, I didn't do that kind of a thing. Why is it that things pass from one generation to the next? Right? Good intentions are not enough, Marge, right? Absolutely not. I wanted to celebrate that Mother's Day. Now, we can go into discussing what happened, clearly. But under the pressures of circumstances, we tend to gravitate to what we've exposed to, whether it's healthy or it's not healthy at all at that point. So these are things that very much will be. Have you found, those of you with children, your children are probably some of your greatest teachers, I would imagine, right? And I find that as well. I was preparing for writing a doctoral thesis, imagine that, on family and marriage and family traditions, right? And my boy was 7 years old, happy, and he said, Daddy, let's go throw a football. And, oh, Daddy's got to do this. And I thought, well, gee, what kind of father am I, right? Here I am writing a thesis about how to be a better father. And so I go out into the yard, and I threw him 13 of the most difficult passes that anyone could throw a seven-year-old, and he dropped every single one. At which point I mumbled, but not so quietly, you can't catch. At which point the playing was over, and I went back to writing my thesis, and he opened the office door, and he threw in a paper, a little stick figure, showed a little boy with tears coming down his eyes, and he wrote out, you can't catch. Now, you could imagine how I'm feeling, right? Boy, I'm really, this is not a whole lot of good advertising between Mother's Day and the way with the kid here, but follow me. Don't lose me yet, okay? I went and dropped what I was doing. I went up to him and I said, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And he looked at me with the biggest smile. He said, Daddy, I forgive you. And then he went off playing. 3 weeks later, he did disobey his mother. And so he had to be disciplined. I'm in the office preparing a sermon, probably about parenting, right? This time the paper is thrown in and it's a smiley face. And it says, please forgive me, Daddy. Now, think about that, right? How could I not, right? So the key is, Matthew 18, we need to remember what we have been forgiven for, right? And at which point I did forgive him. So, Bob, in my office, I have been the fortune of having a number of different degrees, right? In fact, if I brought those degrees here, probably be a little bit warmer, right? But on the wall next to the degrees is that paper. And I laminated it and I put it on both sides, both you can't catch and the other one is please forgive me, Daddy. Of all the papers in that office, that is the most valuable thing that my son has ever given me. Right? It's a reminder, right? It's not so much how many sermons or how many classes or how many different things you do. It's at the end of the day, you know, what are your kids going to say? What is your spouse going to say? My fantasy is that I'm on my deathbed and my wife comes over and she kisses me on the cheek and she said, I chose the right one. But not today, hopefully, right? So this idea of learning the concept of being able to recognize. Now, on my son pulls that card, you know, that reality of remembering that, Daddy, you forgave me, right? And I forgave you. So the wounds, right? The wounds are deep. And sometimes we have to begin the process, but we have to recognize, right, that it is a process, not just words. Now I realize that I could be wounding you right now because I don't have a clock in front of me. So if you would be so kind just to, where, is there a clock? Oh, there it is. Okay. Don't encourage me. Well. So these are the things that the Lord has laid on. God is a great healer, right, but it's a process higher up and deeper in that I want to really encourage you with. Recognizing, yes, I have wounded. And it reminds me, just one more thing, and you always have to be careful when a speaker says just one more thing, right? Many of you have perhaps wounded someone so severely that you are struggling with forgiving yourself. And my thinking is, Russ, is that as long as you don't forgive yourself, you'll always have an excuse not to change. And there's nothing bigger than the cross of Christ. So would you want to wipe out that memory? And a lot of people say, oh yeah, I wish I'd, you know, you're going down, you hear an old song, and it kind of takes you there, a date takes you there. But what if the memory of that worst sin could actually be used of God in a healthy way? Now, the enemy wants to take you in a different direction, right? He wants to think, how could you ever teach? How could you ever play? How could you ever worship? How could you ever do that? But Christ wants you to take you in a different direction. The same memory takes you into the memory of, this is what happened. This is why I'm up on this cross. This is why I have given you the power of the resurrection. The same memory. Kind of reminds me of Paul. You know, Paul had a past. What was his worst memory? Maybe it was standing there watching Stephen be executed, right? Kind of giving the thumbs up. They said that Paul was responsible for going into houses, dragging women and men out, right, into the streets and for the most part probably having them executed. Wouldn't you want to forget that? But when we read the book of Acts and when Paul is in front of Rome giving his testimony, he doesn't sugarcoat it. He talks about he's being of the tribe of Benjamin, right, and he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, but he also talks that I had persecuted, right, the Christians. Right. And so part of his testimony, part of the memory is he had to carry that all the way. And yet when he had that memory, Satan wanted to take it one way, but clearly he knew the power of forgiveness. Right. His worst. And so God uses that. Now, you don't want to obsess about it. But the reality is that when it comes, make sure you take it in the right direction, because it can go either way. You can either self-loathe, beat yourself up, or look at that cross and so thank God because he had forgiven me for that very thing. So there's power in that memory, power in recognizing the wounds that we have. You want to forgive, you have to find the wound, because forgiveness without a wound is just a term. And yet, it's a process. Recognize the feeling, embrace it, letting it go, right? And then taking forgiveness higher up and deeper in. So my prayer for you today is that the Holy Spirit will stir something, right? Maybe you need to send out a card or call or someone to let them know, just to kind of remind you then again, I am sorry, or you need to recognize that somebody's wounded you and to thank them, right? The idea is that we need to pray for those who have harmed us. We need to ask the Lord to bless them. That's graduate level Christianity, right? But when you're there, that's where the healing it comes from at that point. So we want to really ask God for that. Let's just pause for just a brief prayer. Lord, your word today clears us that you are the one who heals. With your stripes, with your wounds, that the Lord, we clearly can be healed. Help us, Lord. We want to forgive more and we want to recognize, and yet we need to recognize the wounds so that the wounds don't pass on to the next generation. We pray, Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit. Amen.